Hey, this morning, we're going to dive into their series called Dangerous Prayers. How many of you enjoyed last week? It was a good week. Unfortunately, for those that were not here and wanted to listen to it online, we had some audio issues, and so that's not online. It made me really sad. I was talking to my parents this week on Friday, and my mom's like, where's the sermon? Where's it at? I want to listen. So at least I know a few people listen to it, whether here in Stockholm or around the world. So this week we're talking about send me. Send me. Last week when we spoke about dangerous prayers, we talked about how often we are just playing it safe with our prayers. That we just make it safe, we just make it easy, that our prayers are mundane, that our prayers are in a sense boring, because we just want to play it safe. But I challenged us all that we need to pray dangerous prayers. We need to be praying prayers of boldness. That our prayers should not be centered on ourselves, but that they should be centered on others. And then at the end, I challenge us all that we should be all in on what God has for us and for our church, to be all in and to live a life of boldness that God has. This week, when we're in talking about dangerous prayers, when we get into the habit of praying dangerous prayers, when we start making this a reality in our life, it often leads us to the prayers of availability. Meaning, God, what can I do for you? Lord, here I am. What do you want me to do? If you've been around long enough, you've heard me say that about our church. God, we want to know, what are you doing? And then how, as your church, how can we be involved in what you are doing? Because God is at work, church. Amen. He's doing things not only here in Stockholm, but around the world. And so we want to be a part of his plans, because he's the king. He is the Lord. This is his church. So what does he want his church to be doing? And I believe that today's message will be an anchor for us as a church in this next year and maybe in the next season to come. One that we're going to be able to look back on and say, oh yeah, that's when it began. That Sunday, April 21st, 2024. Because when God calls his people, because church, he's calling you and me into his promises and into his work. When God calls us, when he prompts us, when he moves us, he wants us to do something that he wants done. We're not praying the prayers of, Lord, this is our plan, bless it. God, I want to do this thing. Will you take it and make it happen? But we're saying, Lord, we are available. There is a blank slate in front of us. Our hands are empty. We come to you and say, Lord, you fill our hands. You write on the tablet of our heart what we are to be doing. And guess what, church? I'm going to let you know this, that when you pray the dangerous prayer of availability, things are going to happen. God might call you to a different job. Unfortunately, God might call you to a different city. He might call you to stay in the city that you didn't want to be a part of. God might call you to break off a relationship that you've been involved in. God may call you to serve. Or surprisingly, God may call you to love dogs more than you love cats. There we go. We just don't know what God's going to do in our life. For me, one of the dangerous prayers, when I graduated Bible college in about 2 weeks, it'll be 20 years that I graduated from Bible college. And I didn't know that entire semester. I was like, the entire year, my last year, I'm like, God, what do you want for me to do? Where do you want me to go? How do you want me to fulfill this calling to be a pastor, to be a youth pastor? And I didn't know when I graduated. So I went with my college and traveled around to various youth camps, just serving and helping out. I love doing that. It's fantastic. But I had, I'd been sending out my resume here and there in different places. I had a few conversations with pastors, and most of them were like, you sound like a great guy, but we're going a different direction. And then we had a weekend off between youth camps in Montana, one of the most beautiful places in the world, Glacier Bible Camp. It's a camp that I grew up in, and if we were all to take a vacation there together and to experience the presence of the Lord in that place, because the nature just speaks wonders of God's presence, I could go to the very spot in that tabernacle, that's what we called the church, I could go to the very spot who's on the left-hand side in the front row. I could point the very seat that God called me to be a pastor. I could also take you to the very spot in the altar up front where I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. But if we, but in that moment when we were serving at that camp, we had a weekend off, and my boss from the college called and said, hey, can you go down to this church in Missoula and can you share and just do a few things? The pastor's son is interested in coming to our college. And we said, sure, yeah, not a problem. But it was in that moment when the pastor said, hey, you should come here and be our youth pastor. You should start a youth ministry. Guess what? I had spent the last 15 years in Missoula, and I never wanted to go back. I never wanted to go back. That was the one place that said, Lord, I'll go anywhere except Missoula. I'll go anywhere except back to my hometown. And what did God do? He said, well, here you go. You're going back home. Yes. I said yes. But when we pray, God, I am available. I'll do what you want. He may take us to the places that we don't want to be. But guess what? If I had never gone there, I wouldn't be here today. Because I never would have met my wife. Never would have come. You know, unless by God's divine providence. So when God calls us, there's three responses that we as human beings have that we also find in Scripture. And as my friend Stefan said, number one is Jonah. Jonah said this, here I am, Lord, but I'm not going. No, thank you. Not today. Jonah 1:1-3, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it because its wickedness has come up before. But Jonah ran away from the Lord. Jonah said, no, I'm going this way. Nineveh was in the complete opposite direction, or where Jonah was going was in the complete opposite direction of Nineveh. He ran. Church, how often do we get prompted to do something and we say, nope, I'm going this way? Sometimes it's just saying something nice to the person at the checkout stand. Nope, I have a phone call, right? No one's there yet. Pick up the phone, please. Pick up the phone. Sometimes, I know for me as a parent, it's I need to respond in kindness rather than the authoritative voice that I want to lay the smack down with one of my children. And I don't heed the kindness voice. And I lay the smack down. And my smack down is the spark that ignites the wildfire that ravages through my house for the next several days. Because I ignored the prompting of the Lord. Sometimes we just go flat out, nope, I'm not doing it. I'm ignoring you, Lord. Or sometimes our excuse is, I got too much going on. I will do it later. I will respond later. Next time I see them, I will say something. Or, Lord, I'm not going to give because I have needs too. Don't you realize I have needs? Or it's just like, nope, I'm not. I'm not here. You don't see me because I don't see you. I'm not available. So sometimes we respond like Jonah, here I am, but I'm not going. I'm not going. Number two, Moses, a great man of God, led people through the desert. Moses said, here I am, Lord, send someone else. Exodus 3:10, so now go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people to the Israelites out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? Later on, Moses goes, Lord, I stutter. I made that up. But he really did said, Lord, I can't talk. I stutter. I can't talk. So God said, okay, here's your brother Aaron. And then if you skip ahead into the story, if you fast forward, what does Moses do? He does all the talking. Go figure. I'm here, but send someone else. Do it for me. I'm just not the right person. Sometimes our excuse in this, like Moses, is, hey, they should give. I know they have a lot more money than I do. They should go. They have a flexible work schedule. They're on parent leave. They should take the task and the chore and do those things. Or maybe they should, She should go because she's a stay-at-home mom. And Lord, we know that stay-at-home moms have nothing to do. Am I right, Carla? Am I right? Nothing to do. Yes. Or maybe we say, hey, no, I can't go, Lord. I can't go. Send them. They're single. They don't have kids. I have too much going on. I have too many responsibilities. I cannot answer your call. Church is so easy, right? To just say, oh, I can't. And then here's our excuse. We fill in the blank. It's so often so easy. But yet, if you see like Moses, he gave the excuse, but he still went. And what did he do? He still talked. He still did all the talking. He did what God asked him to do. So church, we need to step in and be like this last person, Isaiah. Isaiah said, here I am. Send me. Send me. Isaiah 6:8 says this, then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? And I said, here I am. Send me. Notice Isaiah didn't ask, oh, wait, Lord, before I respond to your question, I have a few questions of my own, Lord. Where am I going to go? That's my first question. Lord, also, how much is it going to cost me? When do I go, Lord? Because I have some vacation coming up that I need to use, or my employer says I will lose out on it. Lord, how long do you want me to go? What's the time frame? Because I only have so many weeks that I can use. No, Isaiah just said, all right, here's a blank contract, Lord. Here's a clean slate. My calendar is wide open. I've deleted everything. Here I am. Send me. So church, how do we get to this point? How do we get to the point of Isaiah to be able to truly say, here I am, send me? What do we need to fully surrender to God? Well, if you look at Isaiah's story just a little bit in the verses before, we understand and we see how Isaiah got to this point. First of all, in Isaiah 6:1, it says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. See, Isaiah had a genuine experience with the presence of God. I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on the throne. The train of his robe filled the temple. Isaiah experienced who the Lord was. He came to understand what it was to be in God's presence. In that moment, why do we lack the ability to have dangerous prayers? Why are we not more available? I think maybe it's because we have not truly had a recent, not 5 years ago, not 3 years ago, not last year, but a recent experience with the presence of the Lord. How many of us can truly say that I have had a moment where I have just gotten lost in being with the Lord? That my morning devotions or my evening devotions or my midday devotions just kind of got carried away and I forgot what I was supposed to be doing next because I was so deeply involved with God. Listening to Him, just being in His presence, just waiting around on Him. How many of us can truly say that? Because most of us, it's just, I listen to the devotion, I listen to the Bible portions, I put something down in the what, talk it over, and I've done. My streak on the Bible app continues. Yes. Oftentimes, that's what our time with the Lord has been relegated to. Here at our church, here in this leadership, the leadership of the church also battles this. I'm not up here saying this morning that this morning, my most recent experience with the Lord was this morning. I'm not here to say that. I struggle just the same as you. But our heart's desire for you, for our church, is that we want the big experience. We want God to do it. We want God to show up in our lives, to meet us where we are at, to come to Him. And sometimes God says, okay, I'm going to come to you, but you got to come first. You got to meet me halfway. You got to, as our song said, awaken your soul. What does the psalmist say? He said, enter his gates with thanksgiving on your heart. Enter his courts with praise. Back in the day when you would enter into the king's presence, you didn't just come in, oh, goodness gracious, I'm sorry, king, it was just such a long day. Give me a moment. Let me refresh myself. No, when you entered into the king's court, into the king's presence, you were all, hey, fantastic king, glory to your name. We exalt you. You are fabulous. There's no other king greater than you. You were ready when you entered into his presence. Church, we have to awaken ourselves. We have to stop relying on the Lord to get us to that point. We have to stop relying on the music to pump us up, to get us ready, and push ourselves into his presence. Push ourselves. I will declare the glories of the Lord. I don't feel it, but I'm going to say it anyways. Trust me, I've had to do it. I've had to do it. Most recently, it was a few weeks ago, we were leading the Bible, the prayer on Wednesday. If you want to join us, we have an online prayer. If you are available Wednesdays at from noon to one, Derek and I are in the office, we're praying. I had to just, I was feeling miserable that day. I did not want to be there. I didn't tell Derek that, but I didn't want to be there. I was going through all kinds of in my head. But no, this is the time for the Lord, and I'm going to push in. And I pushed myself. If I go to the gym and I'm lifting weights, I don't just stay with 5 kilos because these guns aren't going to grow by themselves. So I have to go 5, 7.5, 10, 12.5, 15. I just keep going so they can get bigger, right? So I can grow stronger. But if I stay down here at 10, I'm just going to stay at 10. But I want to be into the presence of the Lord. I want something great out of my time with him. I want to enter into his gates with thanksgiving and with praise on my lips. We have to be the catalyst sometimes. Yes, the Lord will oftentimes meet us 75, 90% of the way. But there are those days where we have to push. Pastor Brandon, I haven't felt the Lord in a long time. Then push in. Push yourself into it. There's often when I was training for my run, I did not want to get on the treadmill, but I got on it because I knew the end result. I wanted to be here, but I had to do the work today. Church, if we want to be here with the presence of the Lord, we have to do the work today. We have to push. The Bible says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. You entering in, you making the first effort, you going there. Church, maybe God is asking you to take some time. Maybe he wants you to push in while you're on the train, on the way to work, on the way home. Maybe God's presence wants to show up and let you experience him when you're praying bedtime prayers with the kids. Maybe you got to change it up a little bit. Maybe you're at work sitting there. You need to play some music and just let the presence of the Lord fill your cubicle or your stand or your place, wherever you are at. You have to experience the presence of the Lord. And it's not just here in this church. We have to experience the presence of the Lord. Number two, Isaiah realized after experiencing the presence of the Lord, he had a genuine awareness of his sinfulness. Guess what, church? We are broken. We are messed up. And we are full of sin. We, not you, we, myself included, we are sinful individuals. We are broken people that need a Savior. Culture would tell us the biggest lie that we are good people, and if we're good people, we will be okay. But the Bible doesn't say anything about being good people. The Bible says that there was only one good man, and his name was Jesus Christ. And that good individual, Jesus Christ, came to this earth and died for my sins. And he died for your sins. God is good and we are not. Isaiah 6:5 says, woe to me, I cried. I am ruined. For I am a man of unclean lips. And I live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. Isaiah understood the Old Testament, that a person with sin could not be in the presence of the Lord. He understood that when the high priest went into the court, the inner courts of the Lord, that one time a year, even though he did a lot of praying, even though he did a lot of sacrifices to cover his sins, he still wore a whole monitoring bracelet. He wore a rope around his leg with some bells. So that way when he would sneak away, his way in through the 3 foot deep or the 1 meter deep curtain into the presence of the Lord, if he still had something there that he didn't recognize and he had sin and he would fall down flat dead, the priest would know, okay, we don't hear his jingling anymore and he hasn't come out yet. Let's just pull his dead body out. Isaiah knew and understood sin would not survive in the presence of the Lord. And his being in God's presence caused him to understand, oh, I am ruined. I'm destroyed because I'm such a broken and sinful individual. And that led him to the next point. Isaiah 6:6. Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With this, he touched my mouth and said, see, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sins atoned for. Isaiah experienced the presence of the Lord that then in turn caused him to understand that he was a broken and sinful individual. But in that moment, God said, here's my grace. Isaiah had a genuine understanding of God's grace. Church, when we experience the presence of the Lord, when we enter into his presence, there's a lot that happens, but we also realize how broken and damaged we are. But in that moment, God does not allow us to stay in a broken and damaged state, but he fixes us. He rises us up. He brings us out of the ashes. Just like Isaiah, our lying lips will be forgiven. The hatred you carry in your heart will be forgiven. The secret sin that no one knows about will be forgiven. Your sexual sin will be forgiven. Your attitude will be forgiven. Why? Because of God's grace. Because God's grace extends to you that call on his name. We are fully forgiven. The Bible talks about how our sin is, when God forgives us, is our sin as far as from the east is from the west. How far is the east from the west? Well, if you and I were to start separating east from west, eventually what would we do? We would circle around the earth and meet somewhere on the other side. So for us, east and west has some kind of limitation. But if you were to flatten it out linearly, horizontally, east and west just keeps on going and going and going. Church, do you realize we have an omniscient God who knows everything and that today is the same time frame as 1,000 years ago, as the same time frame as however many thousands of years left is ahead of us in the future? All time is before God in this moment. So when he forgives us, guess what? As far as the east is from the west, the Lord chooses not to remember your sin anymore. Imagine that. God, who remembers everything, when the moment we say, Lord, forgive me, he says, all right, boom, I'm choosing to not remember your sin. That is how we can understand the full forgiveness of God. That it doesn't matter what we've done in the past. It doesn't matter what we did 10 seconds ago. If we come to God with a truly repentant heart, God will forgive us of our sins. And he chooses not to remember it anymore. So the same way that the coal removed Isaiah's guilt and sin, Jesus' blood takes ours away. The death on the cross brings us that forgiveness. Guess what, church? I didn't bring anything. I didn't do anything to deserve the forgiveness of God. But Jesus did it all. Just like that old psalm says, Jesus paid it all. All to him I freely give. I surrender all. Church, when we come to understand the sense of God's presence, it leads us to embrace our sinfulness. God doesn't want us to stay wallowing in our sinfulness and woe is me. God wants us to then move into the next spot of experiencing his grace. So then we can respond like Isaiah. when the Lord says, "Who shall go for us? Lord, here I am. Send me." This isn't a reluctant act. This isn't Isaiah just looking around, kind of going, "I guess there's nobody else here. Okay, Lord, I guess I'll go for you." No. Jesus died for us. The Lord set Isaiah free, cleansed him from his guilt, and he said, "You know what? I get to do this. You have set me free. I get to be with you. I get to respond to your call." Church, we get to do this. We get to go for him. When he asks and he puts out the call, "Hey, who's going to go for us?" We get to say, "Here I am, send me." It's not a have to. Did you see anybody twisting Isaiah's arm to respond? Did you see anybody behind his, holding his arm behind his back saying, "You better respond, you got to respond, you got to respond"? No. Because Isaiah said, "No, I'm choosing to do this." This is also not a one-time decision. Even though I made a decision long ago back in Yakima, Washington, in kids' church, we had the metal chairs, but this carpet store gave the church these little carpet squares. And I remember they said, "All right, it's time for us to pray." We all got off of our chairs. I pulled the little carpet square out. I kneeled down on it and put my arms on the chair, and I asked Jesus into my heart around the age of 8. I know in that moment that is when I asked Jesus. But have I asked Jesus into my heart multiple times over the course of 30 some odd years? Yeah. Because it's a daily decision to follow Jesus. A daily decision to pick up my cross and to follow him. To get to respond, "Yes, Jesus, I want to do this." Yes, there are some days where I'm reluctant. "All right, Lord, this is what you've called me to. And yes, I'll do it, but I'll do it." Some days I don't want to. There have been days where I'm just like Jonah, "Here I am, but not today." You've reached the voicemail of Brandon Konitz. Please leave your name, number, message, and maybe he'll respond to you tomorrow. Beep. And that's when we realize in this moment, when we've said yes to Jesus, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, has come alive inside of us. Our spirit has come alive in Christ. And in that moment, we say yes to Jesus. We begin a war inside of ourselves. Church, the Bible clearly talks about how our spirit is at war with our flesh. The Spirit wants to serve God, but our flesh also wants to serve itself. So there's the war of serve God, serve yourself, serve God, serve yourself. We have to fight that. That's why it is a daily decision. Today, yesterday I may have served myself more than I served God, but today, as for me and my house, today we will serve the Lord. Maybe it's for as me as my house, in this next 30 minutes we will serve the Lord. Lord, as long as I can get my kids out of the house and off to school, I'm going to do my best to serve you. And then after that, it should be easy breezy, lemon squeezy. But Lord, help me to serve you in this moment. And because we have that fight against our spirit and our flesh, guess what? Whatever you feed grows. Whatever we starve will die. The more that we give in and we allow our spirit to win over our flesh, the more that we feed it with the Word of God, with spiritual, with conversations with each other, with maybe our worship music or listening to another sermon to lift us up and encourage us, the more we feed our spirit, the weaker our flesh will get. And it will become easier and easier. Not to say that there won't be battles of great enormity down the road, but it will be easier and easier. So if we want to get to the spot where we are easily praying dangerous prayers, we have to start feeding our spirit. We have to start getting into the presence of the Lord and experiencing who he is. Paul said, "I die daily." So why don't we often say, "Here I am, Lord, send me"? Well, sometimes we might be afraid that we're going to be sent to the jungles of the Amazon. I honestly was not afraid. I did not ever think that I was going to be sent back to Missoula. Never, ever did I think that. But I went back to Missoula to work for a pastor who I knew in high school that I didn't like. I worked for him. He was good. It was my opinion that was wrong. But guess what? If we say, here I am, send me, yes, the Lord may send you to the jungles of the Amazon. It might happen. The likelihood is not there, but it might happen. Most likely, God's going to send you as a missionary to your workplace, to your neighborhood, to your family. He wants you to serve the people that are directly in front of you. Did you catch that? The people that are directly in front of you, that is who you are called in this moment to reach out to. You're either a missionary or your mission field. We are all missionaries to this country, to the people that we're around. We don't have to wait until we receive a calling to go to the jungles of the Amazon to become a missionary. You are missionaries the moment you say yes to Jesus. It doesn't need to be a big deal. Doesn't need to be something that you fundraise for or put on a gigantic show for. But it can be slow. And it can be easy. It can be calm. Maybe it's just taking a moment and paying for a colleague's lunch. Say, hey, just want to pay for your lunch today. Just let you know. I think you're a great person. You don't have to drop the Lord in that moment, but you're doing it out of motivation for the Lord. Maybe it can be buying groceries for a family that's looking for work. Maybe it can be serving in Stockholm Kids or Stockholm Kids Junior. You know, that's similar to the jungles of Africa, right? Krister knows. We got our two wild monkeys already. Mine was the one knocking on the window. So if you want to go to the Amazon, we got it right there. We got the jungle. Welcome to the jungle, where we take it Sunday by Sunday. But guess what, church? As we respond to the Lord, as we get into His presence, there will be a genuine excitement and thrill for the possibilities of what God could do in our life, where we can get to the moment and say, all right, I know I feel like I don't carry a lot, but it doesn't matter. God, here I am. Send me. Use me. Speak through me. That is the cry of our hearts. So in this moment, we're going to move into a time of worship. Because what did it take for Isaiah to say, here I am, Lord, send me? He had a genuine experience with the presence of the Lord. So this morning, I want to encourage you to open yourself up to experience a genuine presence moment with the Lord this morning. We have some time. Intentionally built the service this way so we would have a moment to say, here I am, Lord. Here I am, Lord. I want to be in your presence. I want to see you. I want to know you. I want to hear you. I want to be like Isaiah and say, wow, I saw the Lord. I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne. The train of his robe filled the temple. We're not in a temple, but who knows what God's going to show you in this moment. So I want to encourage you, set aside even just 5 minutes and say, God, I want to enter in. If you have to push yourself into the presence of the Lord, push yourself. If you need to separate yourself from the people around you, there's a wide open space in here. There's plenty of room up front. Get into the presence of the Lord. Have that moment where you say, I met with God. I know that on Sunday, April 21st, I met with the Lord. I had a genuine experience with Him. So I'd encourage you, church, take some time, meet with the Lord, and I'll be back in a few to close us out.